It's that time of year again as we welcome you to our festive World's Strongest Man podcast. New year, new music. Same old Colin Bryce.
Yes.
And doing the heavy lifting for us, so we're joined by strongman superfan Munyaradze Chinyanganya.
Oh, wow. You just smashed my name out of the park, James. Yes, hello.
Can I call you Rads?
Please do.
Bingo.
Please do.
All right. It's so nice to have you with us.
It's a genuine pleasure to be here.
Brilliant. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to look back on the Giants Live tour and forward to what happens in the Philippines, the extraordinary World's Strongest Man finals that await us in Manila and beyond. The cast of characters, the big questions. Is it going to finally be Thor's year? Can Brian Shaw get one more after winning four? All these kind of things. Wow, I'm excited. World's Strongest Man just gets better every year, Colin, eh?
Yeah, it does. And the guys get better. It just physically does. It evolves. And there's never been so many good guys. It's amazing. Zydrunas. You think? Right. That, I mean, he's four times winner. Let's not forget him. The greatest ever, maybe.
Right. Reigning World's Strongest Man, Eddie Hall, not taking part in the finals this year, although he's in the Giants Live Tour, but a really strong British contingent. You can follow the action, by the way, on Channel 5 in the UK. The Giants Live Tour premieres on the 12th of December with Eddie Hall's favourite event, the Britain's Strongest Man competition from Sheffield. Rad, how did you get into strongman? What's your kind of early strongman memory?
I have always loved strongman, essentially because I've loved sport and especially strength sport. So I loved watching the Gladiators when I was a child, which kind of led me into strongman. I remember 1995, Magnus Vir Magnusson, and it was specifically the overhead press with a kind of stone barbell.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure exactly where that was, but it was a really iconic picture in my mind of seeing him press it and him being elated and having enough time to look left and right in all of his testosterone-driven lift and victorious as he ever was.
He's a magnificent man, isn't he?
He is. Do you know what? He still is. And actually, when I met him, I had to pretend. I thought, pretend you're not obsessed by this sport when you meet him. Just be cool.
Right.
Because he still is the man, as is Bill Kazmaier.
Yeah, in different ways. They are. I mean, it's fire and ice with those two, isn't it?
That's fair. It's like Bjorn Borg, John McEnroe.
Very nice, very nice. We've been asking strongman fans all over the world what their favourite World's Strongest Man memories are.
Yes.
If you've got one you'd like to send in to us, you can get us at theworldstrongestman.com. There's the World's Strongest Man Facebook page. Twitter is at World's Strongest. And on the gram, we're at the World's Strongest Man. Loads of people across this little planet of ours getting in touch with their memories. We've got a list of them here. Rads, have you got one there for us?
I do. And if there's any doubt that this sport is not global, they are absolutely wrong, because we've got one from Karachi in Pakistan. Atar Boot says, the first time I saw John Paul Sigmason competing in World's Strongest Man on ABC Worldwide, or Wide World of Sports, back in the early 80s. Wow. Ultimate experience for a kid who dreamed of becoming strong.
Yeah. This sport has got so many personalities, but he was one of the ultimate ones.
Oh, I think without John Paul, this might not be a 40-something middle-aged television program.
Is that right?
Definitely. John Paul really, for a while it was obviously even started as the World's Strongest Men, and then it was very much a bit like the World Series in baseball. No offense to Americans, but it was all Americans. And then Capesy came in, and I think actually if Capesy had won it, as he did, without John Paul there to be a sort of
antagonist.
You know, thank you. Yes, it would have been. I don't think it would. I think it would have flopped in America and then started to flop worldwide, and it had just been a British show, which would have ended up dying. But instead, JP came in and he was just the rock star of all rock stars.
Right, it is funny you should say that. Adam Johnson from the UK, watching Jeff Capes when we were little, then going out to play strongman and throwing car tires and rocks to copy them. We all did that. We all did that.
That's known as rioting.
Jakob Granholm from Sweden. Maybe Samuelsson snapping off the arm of his opponent in an arm wrestle competition.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my word. That's one of the... Yeah.
That's painful to watch.
Yeah, it's not great to listen to, but we're gonna...
This is so intense from both men. Magnus turning that wrist over again. Oh, my goodness. Nathan is down. Oh, this is terrible. I don't know what has happened.
I've probably broken his arm or a tendon or something. It's hard to say, but something is wrong with his arm. But I feel terrible that I have injured him.
Yeah. Colin, is that the reason we don't have arm wrestling anymore in World's Strongest Man?
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely. it was the guy whose arm he broke there, Nathan Jones, yeah. a.k.a. Mega Man, a.k.a. 6'11½", and a man who'd done quite a bit of time for bank robbing, though he's very much a reformed figure now and has since done wrestling in the WWE yeah. and whatnot. But he was so strong, Mega Man. I mean, just off the chart. And Magnus at that time was European arm wrestling champion and actually 109 kilos, I think. And Mega Man came in as a Mega Man. He looks like a child, Samuelson, at 6'6" with his sort of 18 and 19 inch arms. But he just locked him out. And Samuelson knew as he was holding him, because your holding strength is so much higher than your actual pulling and pushing strength. And he got himself in a great position. And he said it was basically Mega Man was so strong, he just snapped his own arm. And that's what happened. He knew it was going to come if he kept going at it. Damn. And his position was all wrong. And it was a circular fracture of the upper arm.
A spiral fracture.
Mm. But,
wow.
But he has such a reputation, Mega Man. If you watch Jamie Reeves in the background, who was one of the referees, he actually reaches back and picks up a stone because he thought Mega Man was going to go wild. He's actually the loveliest man ever, Mega Man. And his naughty past was behind him, but everyone was a bit nervous of him.
But 109 kilos, Magnus. Think how much the sport has literally grown.
Yeah.
109 kilos.
He was straight out of the European arm wrestling championships. Virtually, he hadn't really started working on his legs. It was like just a pair of arms for arm wrestling.
Wow, great shout that from Jakob Granholm in Sweden.
Dennis Drinkwater says the first time watching World's Strongest Man was when I was 10 years old. It was a Saturday morning, sitting with my father eating breakfast, watching giant men throw telephone poles and lifting cars.
And what was on TV?
It's a good morning in Wolverhampton. All I wanted to do was be like them, so that morning I went out in my father's yard and tried lifting the heaviest logs I could find. I didn't know the vines around the log were poison ivy.
Ooh.
It was worth it though.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people picking out Odie Wilson as their earliest memory.
Yeah.
The greatest strongman never to win World's Strongest Man, they call him, Colin.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I mean, he's definitely up there as one of the candidates, of course.
Thor's got to be up there.
Yes, indeed. I mean, yeah, he's a number of second places, and hopefully this year he can conquer that.
We'll see. I don't know. We'll talk more about
Derek Poundstone. Can I just chuck him in there, just in case he's listening? Because
the strong arm of the law.
Yeah, who actually turned to me in 2008 after he got beaten by Pudzianowski in the final stones, and he was in the lead going into it, and he dropped the last stone and he was in the lead on that as well, and he turned to me and I've got many more years to come. I can remember thinking, oh my God, I don't believe you just said that. That's like the kiss of death.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Nicole Storm Lund from Denmark says Odie Wilson doing truck pulls more or less standing up in World's Strongest Man 1990. I was 7 years old, says Nicole. I'd never seen anything like him. He should have won that year.
Elaine Fox from West Virginia in the USA says, when Kaz said John Paul was a paper champion, and then John Paul retorted saying he won 8 out of 10 events, so Kaz can eat his paper.
What a rivalry that was.
The 2 years that he won, he beat Capes. Capes beat him 2 years. I beat Capes 3 times. I feel like he's what I'd call a paper champion. So we're going to make the point this week to become the world's strongest man again.
Bill Kazmaier has said you're a paper champion. How do you feel about that remark?
You see, I teach him a lesson last year. We had a competition between me, Kazmaier, and Jeff Capes. A competition of who was the world's strongest man of all time. And I beat him. I won 8 events out of 10. So he can eat his paper.
Damn. And you don't speak that way to the Kaz.
who put this together? What pipsqueak?
Mind over matter.
Right here, right now.
Yeah, we talk about personalities in this sport, and there is one.
Kaz, even Kaz is here.
Magnificent. All right, here's another one quickly before we move on to what's been going on in 2018. Alexander Dabrowa from Poland, Pudzianowski winning in 2002. Every kid back then in Poland wanted to be like him. Colin Pudzianowski. What, tell us about the man behind the legend.
Yeah, I mean, he was extraordinary, and there's so much debate around Pudzianowski's five wins. He still is the most successful champion of all time at World's Strongest Man. No one can take that away from him. You can debate it until you're blue in the face.
What would the debate be? The fact that Z was busy elsewhere, or
well, I mean, if you wish to withdraw yourself and go off and compete in another competition that isn't the Olympic Games of the sport, then that's your choice, and that's what happened with a lot of them. They were lured by money. And but you cannot take away from the fact that Marius was beaten in 2004, but in 2003, the year before, he had the biggest points winning margin since it was an 8-event competition. It was I think it was Kazmaier who regularly goes on about it, so I'm pretty sure it's Kazmaier who had the other biggest points win. And therefore, that alone gives him a bragging right, because all the same characters were there. There was Vereshchuk, right. There was Zadrunas, there was whatnot. Yes, Zadrunas was magnificent in a period he disappeared for. So who knows who's the best ever? That's sort of the fun of debating it, right?
Possibly right. The leanest World's Strongest Man ever.
Unbelievable, yeah. Yeah, unless I'd have won it, but then.
But you didn't. So,
but you are an Olympian, though, Colin. I think I'm right in saying
it.
just on the subject of memories, we should also give a shout-out to the great Jimmy Pollock. Dom Vin and Nevesa Ahola from Finland have fond memories of the moment when the Atlas stone was dropped and rolled onto Jimmy's foot.
Fekete with a second. His trainer acknowledges he has it. Oh, look at the... Jim Pollock, an impromptu Highland fling there. That must have hurt. Bare feet in the sand. And a white flag for Volders. Fekete marching on relentlessly. It's another white flag for him. And almost takes Jim Pollock out again.
Yeah, Jimmy doing the Highland jig there, poor chap. What a legend he was. He was so much a part of World's Strongest Man in so many different roles as well.
Yeah, I mean, amazing. He was coach at that point for Ab Volders. Yeah, I mean, Jimmy drove the truck in any truck pull or even planes. Jimmy could drive it all, and he often even drove the containers out there. He was equipment managing.
He used to bring the planes up for the plane pull.
He could do it, and Jimmy would fly everything and anything. Stand back, I'm taking over. And that was it. He would take it. Yeah.
Jimmy was in charge of the kind of gang of what would you call them? Stagehands, almost, who basically rig. I mean, that's the thing. You've got these guys who are lifting the strongest weights available, but somebody has to get all that equipment there and then take it away again in time for the next events. You've got a whole gang of these guys, including Jimmy's son.
Yeah, Ross, absolutely, yeah. He has the same hairline as Jim had as well, and as John Paul used to call him, instead of the Pollocks, it was the
Nice.
It was a Viking slip of the tongue, obviously. I don't know what he meant.
Nice. Well, we're looking forward to World's Strongest Man in the Philippines. It's in a very sweaty Philippines as well, is where the World Finals are going to be happening, and that'll be on air on Channel 5 just after Christmas. The Giants Live, though, the qualifying tour, Colin, we're lucky to have you here, the tour director.
Well, I'm lucky to have the job, really. It's an amazing tour to be part of.
It's especially this year, because this tour gets bigger and better every year, it says on this note you just...
Yeah, absolutely. I just handed you in, and the crowds are only ever five figures.
Yeah, no, but the
even
crowds,
when the legal limit is 6,000.
You were a regular on the tour this year, Raz, in a non-competitive role so far.
Yeah, let's put that out there.
But it's just spectacular.
It really is. And actually, there's something about competing in an amphitheatre with a ceiling over it, so it just contains the noise. And I think it just propels the guys on to bigger and bigger lifts. And then seeing spectacles like Eddie's 500 kilograms 2 years ago, when guys attempt world records or even are just competing for that given title, it's special and it feels so intimate.
The half-ton lift. It's the kind of thing that you're only going to see once in a lifetime. Or are you? Because, Colin, I hope it's not indiscreet of me, but I've heard this rumour that you might have booked a very big venue for a very big event in 2019. What can you tell us?
Well, yeah, I mean, I promised my wife after Eddie collapsed and we had to drag him off stage with blood coming out of his ears that we would never do the World Deadlift Championships again. But, you know, like old promises, you renege on them. and back by popular demand, we are going to do a proper rendition again. Jerry Pritchett pulled that weight off the floor, 500 kilos that night. Benny did it twice, though Pritchett you know, banjoed his hamstring on the way up. So, and that's, I actually think he's just sitting in the gym still since then, training for it. He's just living for this. And we've barely seen him since. And I think we owe it to him, those two guys. Brian Shaw is hopefully going to come on board as well. And he's done that kind of weight in training.
Is this just possible for strongmen, or is this a kind of anyone who wants to have a pop at it?
No, I mean, it's not just in my garage. It's going to be in Wembley Arena. So, yeah, right. So anyone can come and watch. Can anyone have a pop at it? Absolutely. Damn right, yeah. If you think you can do that kind of way, I don't care where you come from and who you are, you don't have to be a strong man. There's no clique here. This is
you kind of do have to be a strong man.
You have to be a strong space man. That's right. All. So if you're a powerlifter, a weightlifter, I know I've had an interest from two medalists from the Olympic Games in weightlifting, one from Russia and one from Iran. So that's interesting. I need to see the goods first. So videos, ideally, chaps. Yeah, it does help. You know, ideally, you weightlifting rather than anything else, but yeah, just
although,
to clarify,
you know.
But you know, you can get in touch with me for other reasons. Where are we going with this?
Anyway,
yeah,
so
we want to find the strong. It's the simplest lift. It's the king of lifts. It's the deadlift.
Right.
And it's
the simplest kind of weightlifting exercise you can do. Pick this weight off the floor.
It's the ultimate currency for power brokers.
I understand.
To sort of,
all right. Is going to be at Wembley Arena.
Wembley Arena, the legendary Wembley Arena, July 6th.
July 6th.
And it'll be event one of Giants Live. So there'll be, there'll be a bit of, you know, car running and all kinds of other madness that we do. So
brilliant.
Yeah.
All right. What's this? There's two VVIP tickets to Giants Live Wembley up for grabs later in this podcast when two superfans are going to be going head-to-head testing their World's Strongest Man general knowledge.
Yes, it's me versus Radzi and I wrote the questions.
You've still got a good chance, Radzi, to be fair. All right, well, you know what? If we're going to talk about half-ton challenges and world deadlift records and that, we've got to hear from the man who set that extraordinary best ever in Leeds 2 years ago. Eddie Hall, reigning World's Strongest Man for now, joins us now on the line. How are you, Eddie?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very well. Just speaking for everybody here. Very, very well. Eddie, actually, I have to say, we're a little bit reeling because Colin has just dropped a bombshell named Wembley and 501 kilos, Colin.
Well, that was me off air saying quite how that would be the ultimate goal. But Eddie, you of course lifted the half ton in 2016. Do people talk about that as much as the World's Strongest Man title? I mean, that was really a game changer, wasn't it?
It's a tough one. You know, people always ask me what means the most to you, World's Strongest Man win or the 500 kilo. And honestly, I think the World's Strongest Man win means the most to me, but I think the 500 kilo has cemented me in the history books forever. It's one of those feats of strength that, you know, it's like the 4-minute mile, it's like the man on the moon. It's one of those things that will never be forgotten, especially in the strength world.
Eddie, what's quite nice is James, Colin and myself were all there when you pulled 500 kilos off the ground. Do you think it will happen again?
Honest opinion, yes, but
who's going to do it, Eddie?
I can't be naive enough to say nobody will do it because everyone said I couldn't do it in the first place.
Yeah, well said. Well said.
So, you know, I mean, there's a few guys that could possibly pull 501. You know, I think my favourite would probably be sort of Jerry Pritchett, Brian Shaw. We have Benny Magnuson and, of course, Halfover Johnson as well. You know, I think he's publicly stated he's going to pull 501 kilo, which is it's a very big thing to do, you know, just saying something and doing something, two completely different things.
well said. In terms of getting ready for that 500, it's worth just pointing out the second biggest lift in history, for those who don't know it, 465 kilos was done that night. And that still stands as the second biggest lift ever, isn't it? And there was a 70-plus pound jump in one night.
Yeah. It's a bit ridiculous when you say it like that. You know, it's 70-pound difference. And then nobody's ever, you know, nobody's come close since. You know, people have pulled bigger weights on different bars and different apparatus, but until they get on a calibrated bar with calibrated plates, it doesn't mean anything in my eyes. You know,
true.
You've got to come and do it where it counts.
Eddie, one thing which genuinely blew me away was in the World's Strongest Man final when you pulled 472.5 kilos off the ground, having already pulled a plane. How difficult was that? You had the perfect setup in Giants Live when you got the 500. For the 472.5, it was far from perfect. You were hot. You were fatigued.
Honestly, I think that the conditions out there were perfect. And I know the lead up wasn't the best for that lift. You know, I'd already done something like 13 events, I think, or 12 events. So yeah, it was a very tough setup. But I honestly believe I was the strongest condition of my life that day. I pulled 472 like a feather. I honestly believe if you'd have put 530 kilos on the bar thereabouts, I reckon I'd have pulled it. I just felt invincible.
Eddie, we're building up to Christmas here, and of course that means Giants Live and then World's Strongest Man from Manila. You're the reigning champ, and you feature strongly in the Giants Live tour with Colin. How are you going to be spending Christmas this year? Have you got a different regime?
No, like I spend Christmas every year. I sit down and watch The Strongman.
Brilliant. We won't tell you how it ends, because there's some shocks in there, though.
You even go for your fifth title in the first show, Ed. How about that?
Oh, of course. Yeah. You know, I kind of forget. You know, it's so long ago.
Eddie, as the reigning World's Strongest Man, you've had an incredible year. How much has life changed for you in the course of these 12 months?
Life's taken a completely sort of upside-down flip, really. You know, I'm still enjoying the strongman game. I'm still looking forward to doing Britain's and the World Lift Champs and Europe's and everything else. But I've really hit it off in sort of the acting side of things. And I've landed a few film roles, one Hollywood production, one bit leading role in a horror film in the UK.
Which horror film is that, Eddie?
Story of His Life? No. Getting trapped with Eddie in a plane toilet.
I know that there was a challenging time with the director on the Transformers, but what was the... Maybe you can tell us about that or not, I'm not sure. But what was the horror film, first of all?
I can't say what it is yet. I've still got to film it.
Okay.
It's got to be released.
What do you play?
Oh, wow. All I can say is that the ending scene will be me having a big battle of Lennox Lewis, and I hope you guys can guess who's going to win.
Lennox Lewis?
Yeah.
Fair play. One of the greatest heavyweight boxers of all time versus arguably one of the greatest strongmen of all time. Mm. That is a clash, the punch versus the deadlift.
Absolutely. The alien against the predator. Damn. What was Transformers didn't put you off movie making then, Eddie?
No, I mean, Transformers was a big build-up and a big letdown for me. You know, I was promised the world on that film, and then when it aired, I was completely wiped out the movie, which is actually very common, and, you know, it's to be expected. So, no, it didn't put me off at all. It was just one little taster, and it did open my eyes to the film world of what goes on, and, you know, huge film sets. I couldn't believe the money that went into it.
It's a bit like the World's Strongest Man production on Channel 5, to be fair.
Yeah. Eddie, you've had your own transformation, though. You've taken your body from over 200 kilos down to a lean 165.
Yeah, I'm just sitting 166 kilos at the minute right now. So I've lost a total of 5 stone, 30 kilo at this point.
He's still 370 pounds for Americans listening in.
Yeah.
We're talking about a man who's lost 50 pounds. It sounds like a man who's put 50 pounds on. But yeah. Lean and mean.
That's me and James put together with change.
Yeah, I lost 70 pounds in total. The transformation's been amazing. And I tell you what, I've massively enjoyed it as well, you know, sort of carving and sculpting my body and seeing what I can do with it. And I'm nowhere near finished yet. I think there's a lot more to do. And this is all obviously going towards the filming stuff as well. Nobody wants to look at a 32 stone fat git on TV. So
not when you star in Magic
blushing.
Mike.
Colin's just blushing now. Eddie, if that's been the best thing about your post victory year, what's been the worst thing? Is there something you've really missed about being part of World's Strongest Man?
Yeah, of course. You know, it was something that took a hold of my life. You know, it was something for me to chase. And I think chasing that title, although I look back and it was horrendous and I didn't enjoy bits, but I tell you what, I enjoyed chasing a title. And I enjoyed the chase.
Mm.
And I suppose it's filling that chase up now. After the World's Strongest Man, I actually it's hard to admit this, but I went on a very bad spiral of depression straight after I won the World's Strongest Man, like a lot of elite sportsmen do and women. And it took a lot of get up and go to sort of get up and reset my goals and keep moving forward. And obviously my new goal was moving into movies, and it's something that I have to do. I can't sit still. I can't look back and think, yeah, that's enough. Let's just sit down and chill. I've got to keep going.
Good for you, Ed. You know what I like is the fact you've put it out there as well. You know, I mean, you know, I wish you the very best of success with that, because it takes a fair bit to grab your whatever and say you're going to do it, just like you did with World's Strongest Man. So, yeah, and you did that. So, I'm sure you will do.
Yeah, well, that's there's one thing I'm known for, and it's backing up my bull. I 99%, I'll get it done, unless there's some horrible accident, miracle, whatever takes me back. If I say something, I'm going to do it.
Well, meantime, you're making a small screen debut in a presenting role this Christmas on the finals on Channel 5, alongside me, which I have to say is a real honour for me in particular, Michelle Ackley joining us too. Are you excited about that side of things, Eddie?
Yeah, massively. You know, I think it'd be really nice to fly out wherever we're going and watching all the guys compete and struggle seeing a new person get handed that trophy, you know,
what if it's Thor, Eddie?
What if it's Thor? Well, you know what? If it's Thor, then he deserves it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of nice just to sit back and watch the next man take it over. And if it is half Thor, you know, I'll be the first man to shake his hand and say well done for sure.
All right, as long as it's not Robert Oberst, that's the main thing.
No, that's the main thing.
Excellent. Eddie, listen, well, best of luck cracking the big screen as well. Really looking forward to your tussle with Lennox Lewis. That's going to be one of the highlights of 2019. And I believe you're going to join us as well when we look back on the finals in the Philippines in our next podcast as well.
Yeah, I for sure will. Just let me know when and I'll make sure I'm free.
Brilliant. There'll be a lot to discuss. Eddie, thank you so much for being with us. Legend, World's Strongest Man.
Thanks, guys.
Eddie Hall, who's not competing in the Worlds this year, but he sure is all over the Giants Live Tour, which kicks off on December the 12th on Channel 5 with, and this is exciting, Colin, Britain's Strongest Man. Britain's Strongest Man, boom, from the Fly DSL Arena in Sheffield. Before we get any further along then, let's start a proper preview of what people can expect in these exciting shows. Rads, you were there in Sheffield.
I was indeed, and I'll tell you what, Eddie could not have been more focused. He wanted that so badly, and to see him, the big question was how much would the Worlds, how much would that then affect him with his focus being on that? Would he manage to kind of raise his game again for the British? And I'll tell you what, without giving anything away, he put on a show.
He wanted his fifth title. Would he get it? Let's hear a little preview.
Onto the sacks. No problem for Eddie yet.
Just wild power. I mean, he looks a bit cumbersome bending over, but just rips it off the ground so well.
And as Hick will be giving him some grief now. Manages to catch up with Hicks, though, who caught up with him. Both men now.
This is so neck and neck. Who's going to pull this one off?
Well, it looks like it was Eddie. And he knows it. 47.39. Only places him fifth. And Hicks in sixth. What a race, though.
The sweet sound of Danny Wallace in commentary with you there, Colin. And that was, of course, the loading race. Graham Hicks, who provides some real competition, Freddie. I'm not going to say how this pans out, but this is a tough battle.
He's in the mix, to quote your good self. yeah, I mean, Hicksie is in the shape of his life. Eddie is just in his sights. He there's no doubt Ed and whatever he has been saying, on a polished front, he has had some injuries come into this, some of them quite major, but he gets it all together for one last time. and whether he wins or not, you'll have to watch the show, but it's the rest of them have just about caught up and he's had some injuries, so it's quite a battle.
Okay, it's such a big event, this, and getting bigger with the increased number of real contenders from these shores. Adam Bishop, who you're majorly impressed by Rads, and all the usual British characters are there.
Absolutely right. I have to say, I stayed in the hotel with some of the guys afterwards, and Big Kaz, who's a man who's endured some pain over his career...
Inflicted some as well.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely right. He basically whispered in Eddie's ear because of how much pain Eddie had endured himself, and from what I could gather, had basically said, I doff my cap to you.
All right.
So whether or not it ends in victory...
I doff my cap to you.
Right. And and it's a big cap to doff.
It is.
And so, yeah, but the likes of Bish, who I rate massively, I think with him being an S&C coach, with him being a strength and conditioning coach, people focus on the strength, but I think he also focuses on the conditioning, and that's what he brings to everything he does. He's always at peak fitness.
Absolutely. I mean, chances are Kaz was asking him... whether he'd been bitten by the iron serpent. That's the usual guess. That's when you get injured weightlifting, the irons. But it's the iron serpent if you're the world's strongest man. And macho enough, James. You've been bitten by the iron serpent, of course. If you face it down,
damn,
and carry on in pain, it's not a problem.
He's not just been bitten, Eddie. He's had a couple of fingers off to that particular beast. Yeah. Colin,
that was fantastic.
In a word... Or in a phrase, why should people watch on December the 12th Britain's Strongest Man?
Because it's probably the greatest strongman show ever produced.
Brilliant.
Who's the producer?
Who's the producer?
Who's the series producer?
All right. It is until a couple of days later when on Channel 5 you'll be able to watch the Scandinavian Open from the evocatively titled Stadium Arena, or is it the Arena Stadium? I can never remember. In Norrköping.
Who cares?
Where Johannes Aarsjö's at it again.
Yeah. Johannes is just the berserker, as
Kazmark
likes to call him.
It's a fun set of events there. The safe lift.
Which is very unsafe. And the bendiest, weirdest bar ever.
Yeah. And they seem, I mean, you know, the Scandinavians have a reputation for being placid, calm folk, but they get raucous, this lot.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's totally packed out. It's in Johannes' town. It's 3,500. It's sold out way in advance. And there is a magnificent showing from the Scandinavians. Of course, there's some couple of Brits there as well in Adam Bishop.
And Z.
NZ, yes, he's actually Scottish, by the way. John Pollock, yeah, NZ from Lithuania. His greatness, his bigness, Big Z.
Excellent. All right, so that's the Scandinavian Open. And that's followed by, hoo boy, Rads, all the way from Leeds, Europe's Strongest Man.
It was a special show, this one. The crowd, as ever in Leeds, were fantastic. But lots of athletes really stepped up. And will the big man, Thor, clinch another title,
or will the other big man, Iron Beebe, set a world record? Because this is a chance to feast your eyes upon a guy who strongman aficionados are touting as a future dominator.
Yeah,
I mean,
that legendary European Iron Beebe, of course. I mean, it worth me saying that. Yeah, we did the World Log Lift Challenge.
Log Lift Challenge, and Eddie's in there.
Of course, the beast was there. He was hoping to do all of Europe's, but he gets injured beforehand with an ankle injury.
Right.
And
but this is the venue where he set a world record before with that incredible deadlift. Yeah. Can he do it with the log lift? We'll find out.
And then in the axle, the year later, two world records, 2 years.
Oh,
this is three for three.
I've never been so excited to watch a man extend his arms.
All right, it's an incredible atmosphere there at the First Direct Arena.
It is, and it's built for spectacles because that sound, it's all the guys, all the crowd are on one side of the arena, and so it just comes at you. And as soon as we announce Eddie and we announce Beebe attempting that log press world record, I'll tell you what, I could not articulate my words.
Crikey.
11,000 people this year.
Was it?
Yeah.
And this is only the very first part of Europe's Strongest Man, the World Log Lift Challenge.
Right.
It's the first bit. And then you've got the actual competition for the European crown. You mentioned, sorry, Hapthor, coming back, defending his title.
Precisely.
Incredible lineup, though. Janasia Kiliskowski's there. Mm. Beebe, as we mentioned, is in the first part.
Lalas.
Belshak.
Shivlikov.
Yeah. Graham Hicks.
It was
Terry
Hollands.
Terry. Felix, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Ubiquitous.
How does Felix keep doing it?
he don't know no better. He's got no place else to go. I can never forget asking Felix once. We were in some dodgy contest in Poland, and it was a kind of contest you'd wake up the next day and you'd be brutally hurt, and the beds were rough, and it was just a tough old bad old days, and it wasn't. Anyway, he probably earned a fiver, and I probably lost a fiver promoting it. It was rough, but and I remember saying, "You must be hurting today." And he went, "No, I feel totally fine. I could do another contest right now." And I was thinking, wow. He was like 44 at the time, just thinking, gosh, I wonder when I get to 44 what I'll be like. Of course, I am now 44.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And so then, he was a year older than Z is now.
I can't
now.
Even tie my own shoes anymore without hurting. So yeah, he's just extraordinary. He doesn't suffer muscle pain. It's quite remarkable after events. He's got something genetic.
Another veteran who left and then came back again because he didn't fancy presenting. Anymore. It's Terry Holland, who has a significant showing in the Europes, going up against the young and extremely, well, scarily quick Mateusz Kulusowski in the frame carry. Let's hear a little moment from that.
And it is all about grip, this.
Absolutely. Of course, you need quick feet as well, because the grip will go on anybody, and it's all about time. If you go too quick, though, Danny, you can clip your knee and go down. That's one thing you have to watch out for.
Very difficult to start again once he's stopped. Kulusowski pulling ahead of Terry Hollands here. Got across the line, does so convincingly. Hollands right behind him. And really, really, I mean, that's very impressive. Under 20 seconds. Twice as fast as Mark Felix.
I mean, the story there, the story in Europe is about the growing K factor, Kulusowski. But great to see Terry Hollands keeping pace with him there.
It is. And he looks like a bodybuilder now. He looks like a pure Adonis. Yes.
Excellent. Now, you had an exciting trip to Martinsville, Indiana, Colin. It's your second home.
It is. It's also the home of goldfish and mineral water.
And tractors. This business with the goldfish and the mineral water, I've got to ask, because I've seen a lot of tractors there, but where are the goldfish and the mineral water?
Sounds a bit fishy to me.
Whoa, jeez, you two, man. Where are the goldfish? I think sort of goldfish kind of went out of fashion.
No, but a wee bit. Where are they in, there's no sign of it in the competition.
Oh, right. I think Kaz ate them all in some contest.
It's a quirky event. Why should viewers look out for this one in particular?
It just has a very unique charm, no doubt about it. It's the best of the North Americans.
Yeah.
Bar Brian. And then we have Loz and Felix going over as well as guests in the North American Open. But there's you just have to watch it to understand it. The lot of names there you don't know from before, and that's a good thing. You want to see the stars of the future, including a WWE guy who's converted across.
Evan Singleton.
He was in his second contest when he comes to this Giants Live event.
No way.
He turned up to a North American-wide qualifier, kicks the asses of some world-class guys who've been on the Arnold stage of the professional event,
mm-hmm.
and wins it in his first ever contest.
How hot is it in Indiana then? Because it's usually every year that seems to be a real issue, the heat.
You could cook an egg on the tarmac. I mean, it's proper hot. But it's the action's hot too. You got to tune in. And also, it's an excuse to do lots of dueling banjos for music.
That's
a choice of television show music.
Yeah.
It's quite fun for me.
Defending champion of the US Open is Rob Kearney.
Yes.
The first openly gay strongman.
Yes.
And it's funny because I think some people would look at strongman and think of it as being not necessarily the kind of sport where you'd have an openly gay athlete and...
Doesn't bother anybody.
Not bothering anybody. But it's actually exactly the kind of sport... I mean, you hear so many of the guys talking about the spirit of brotherhood that there is between them, the way that they are all so comfortable with each other.
Do you know how I would put it? Is people often imagine strong men to be a bit like a group of bouncers or doormen jostling and trying to, pose to... Actually, when you get guys like that put together, they're so actually used to trying to almost be smaller to not make themselves quite so imposing. These guys don't have to puff their chest out. They're 32 stone. They're giants. Actually, it's the opposite.
Right.
They're gentlemen, and they're very gentle. Where was I going with that one? But I was going somewhere good.
No. And the other thing, you're a big guy yourself, Colin,
yeah,
and you've been part of that whole business of sacrificing time, body, spirit to a sporting aim.
Absolutely.
I mean, in your case, the Olympic flame.
You're an Olympian.
Yeah. It's in my contract. We've only done it five times. I needed more.
The point I was going to say, and we're a little bit off the beaten track here, but I was just going to say that I think one thing that I always wondered if what unites those guys particularly is the fact that there's only about 30 guys in the world who know what they go through, what they have to, what they have to put on the line just to do what they do, the price that they pay. They're the only people who really understand what they've been through.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I mean, all sport, of course, you have to go through extreme sacrifice. I think even no matter what sport it is, it's so many hours and all the friendships you have to cut and relationships you have to miss out on, and it's brutal. But then, of course, yes, there is also the added pain thing, and I saw a study that had strongman down as just about the highest injury rate event of all. So you're basically walking into a contest with 30 men, you're pretty much guaranteed at least two major injuries and four or five minor ones.
Yeah, like broken arms.
Yeah, like major
biceps
stuff.
Ripped off the bone.
Yeah,
fingers torn from their sockets. All that kind of thing. So anyway, tune in to the U.S. Open from Martinsville, Indiana. With tractors and goldfish and
blood and arms come off
and that's just the referee.
That's just the MC.
Lightweight, it's easy. He's motoring. Keep it up.
He's extraordinary.
I love Kaz.
He really should have a line of kind of motivational, an app you could get, a Kaz soundboard on your phone for when you're feeling.
Even hearing a shopping list from him.
Yeah.
So today I'm going to go to the supermarket. I'm going to pick me up some groceries. I'm going to get vegetables. They're so important for your body. You got to fuel yourself. And then I'm going to go over the ice cream section and get some ice cream because I like to tantalize my taste buds. That's very important.
Conceive, believe, and achieve.
Now, one little treat that awaits you in the U.S. Open from Martinsville is an extraordinary clash in the super yoke between the visiting Lawrence Charley and defending champion Rob Kearney.
Neither man has ever been beaten at this event.
1-0 has to go. This is... Someone's got to lose.
Someone's going to be disappointed because they won't have something fun to say at parties from now on.
Oh, Charley, a flyer. Oh, the turn down the other end. Oh, he's dropped it, Charley. Dragged it. That was a bit cheeky.
Well, unless Kearney can really pull something out of the bag now or something goes very wrong for Charley. Charley will be the guy who's never been beaten at Super Yoke. 20.75 was what they had to beat, 19.51 for Kearney and 17.38 seconds for Lawrence Charley.
Right, there was a great commentary there from you and Danny, Colin. Was it fun to do, the Martinsville one?
What, the commentary with Danny?
Just the whole thing.
The commentary with Danny is priceless. I would pay a lot of money to do that. It's very good fun. He's a loon. But everything in Martinsville is fun.
It's the quirkiest one on the Giants Live Tour, is that right?
Oh, easy.
And it's followed by, on Channel 5, the big one, the WTF.
Like WTF and stuff?
Yeah, the World Tour Finals. World Tour Finals, which also featured World Axle Press Championships.
Yeah.
So another world record on the line. Tell us more about, because again, you went bigger and better on this year's WTF finals. WT final.
Thank you. Yeah. The axle record is one of the big ones. And we tend to wheel those out.
Oh, nice.
The pun, hey?
Yes.
When we've got the biggest and best and.
Incredible lineup.
216 kilos. That's the record taken from Z's 215, and for Eddie Hall has it. So will he break it or not?
Without ruining the surprise, Reggie, you were there. What was your standout moment?
I was actually sat next to the beast, and we were commentating on it. And I have to say, one highlight was being sat next to the beast, the man with the current world record. I won't say if it got broken, but the current at the time, and then seeing BB take it on and. There was a decision made, I think after about 200 kilos, it's, are we going to go for the world record? The decision was made that they would do. And just as a spectacle of seeing that, first of all, gotten to their belt, then they attempt to roll it up their stomach, and then the real question is, can they get their elbows under to press it and hold it there? It's maybe 15 seconds, but I tell you what, it feels like 2 minutes.
Right. Bibi, of course, Iron Bibi, who was the man from Burkina Faso, who was making his mark in this event, and as one of the standout figures of the Giants Live Tour this year, we thought it'd be nice to get his reaction to the events of 2018 and his plans for the future. One of the rising stars of Strongman joins us now. Iron Bibi, hello!
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. What a delight it is to have the legend that is Burkina Faso's strongest man, and soon, surely, world's strongest man, Iron Bibi, with us.
Yes.
It's been an extraordinary year for you, Iron Bibi, with particularly on the Giants Live Tour, without giving away any of the results, because we haven't seen the shows yet. But you featured in a couple of world records attempts. You went on Blue Peter with Radzi. It's just been a whirlwind.
Exactly. Yes. So it's been a really good year so far, and I learned a lot, everything. And I believe that next year, 2019, I'm going to break most of them in the shoulder press events. So I've been really training hard and, coming back in a better shape.
Bibi, it was absolutely awesome to have you on Blue Peter in our world record special. I remember hearing that you were coming into the studio, and first of all, when you did, the entire crew could not believe a man as big as you existed, but the nicest man as well. And for anyone who didn't know about the record, so it was the most number of overhead presses with a human being. And so we challenged Bibi to lift my colleague Lindsay over his head. He had 1 minute to break the world record, and the target was, I think, 46.
Wow.
Yeah, in a minute.
Locked out. Now, 48 would have been impressive. Bibi got 69.
Wow, and how did your colleague feel?
She had to stay as tight as she could. And I'll tell you what, Bibi came in there, he was lightheaded afterwards. I was ready to catch him, which I realised was a silly thing to do, because if he falls on me, I can't do a lot to help him. But we still get posts coming now about Bibi. With Bibi, one case, it was arms were straws. Someone made 3D post lifting Lindsay up through paper. It was incredible. And now he's made history for Burkina Faso.
How many kilos is she, anyway?
Shall I be kind to her and
56
say...
56 or...
Let's say 50 to be kind to her.
Okay, right.
So you shouldn't say a woman's
67
weight.
67 presses was basically 60 kilos. That's quite a wriggling 60 kilos.
Yeah, she started cramping when I was in the 20th rep. I'm cramping. I'm like, it's going to be hard now.
Do you know the lovely thing that Bibi was basically concerned about her cramping afterwards? Forget about the lactic and the fatigue in his arms. He was concerned about Lindsay afterwards. It was absolutely awesome. Me and Greg James from Radio 1, we lifted Lindsay onto his arms. The Guinness World Record adjudicator said 3-2-1, off we go. And I'll tell you what, it was a spectacle. 60 seconds. I even introduced him with his full name, which is Sheikh Ahmed Al Hassan Sanu. It's not often someone says that. We gave it the full wrestling entrance for this legend of a man.
Bibi, you are a legend, no question. How many strongmen are there in Burkina Faso?
There are not many. I start having my athletes, young the juniors.
Uh-huh.
So I'm hosting small competition just so one day they can represent too my country. So I'm the leader here. So I have many eyes on me. And I'm trying to do the best job I can. I believe in the next 5 years there will be some more Iron Bibis over West Africa. So that's the plan. I'm trying to see how I can help and promote the sport all over the world.
Right. You're making such a name for yourself worldwide. How did you get into Strongman?
Yeah, Strongman, I started being a powerlifter until 2014. And then I got an invitation in 2016 to do a junior Strongman competition in Canada. And since that performance, people big companies like Giant Live, they give me the opportunity to be a better strongman. So I'm really proud about it. And I always thank Giant Live for changing me, to be a great strongmen now.
Mm. Oh, Iron Bibby, it's such an honour. You know, I don't think I've ever met a man who's A, quite so naturally talented, B, who's quite so naturally big. I mean, do you have to... When I saw Iron Bibby's arms, I asked him how big they were. He said 25 and a half inches.
Yes.
That's what...
Yeah, 26 now.
That's 6 inches bigger than Hulk. Hulk Hogan used to pretend, but his was 6 inches smaller. But and then we saw Bibby's legs. Oh, my goodness me. I don't know. It's enormous.
Let's stop there, Colin.
So, what are you saying?
Neil, the announcer on Giants Live, says a line I love every single time. He says, "Here comes Iron Bibby, the man with the world's biggest legs." Pause. All three of them.
Oh my word!
He doesn't have the biggest feet though. They're size 16. Is it Stoltman's got 18? I think. Is that right?
Yeah, they got 17.
Size 17. Stoltman's 18. There you are.
Wow.
But Bibby, it's because of your personality and how
I have bigger hand.
We must measure them, you know. We measured Felix's wingspan on his hand, and it came to just under 13 inches, his wingspan, if he spreads it out. Fancy's looking at his hand.
Yeah, I've just realised he's a big man.
I've been working on my conditioning more.
Good. Darren Sadler's going to be very proud. Because he's the one who's been pushing you. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I've never met a more naturally strong man. And 25 years or something, I've been around this now. Nobody has ever come on the scene with less experience and less time in the gym. Yeah. And let's face it, I couldn't believe when you sent me those pictures of your gym in Burkina Faso. I assumed it was a fitness first, and it was outdoors. There was a rope over a bar with a few weights and a sack of potatoes, and you were doing your tricep work. It was like the stuff movies are made of. In fact, we must make a documentary, but we'll talk about that one later, Bibby.
Have you ever tried bobsleigh, Bibby?
I try to adapt, you know, and try to make my own equipment and to see how I can, yeah. So I'm always building new equipment to be able to challenge the great. You know, there is many great athletes in the world now. So with the less advantage I have, so I try to make my best and enjoy it, you know.
Mm. Bibby, we haven't had the chance to see you at the World Finals yet, but just from your own experience, have you ever met anyone who you think might be stronger than you?
Not yet. And, you know, the world is really big. Maybe there is somewhere, but not yet.
But I remember you telling me about a man you'd heard of who was even bigger than you in your own country.
Yes.
Who was he?
My dad.
Ah. I have to say, your personality has made you an adopted Brit. In the Giants Live, when you took on the log press world record, which was an incredible feat, when we introduced Eddie Hall, his ovation was deafening. Yeah. The only person whose ovation came close was yours. When we said, Iron Bibby, the arena lifted off. You are a very popular man.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
When do you think you'll possibly get into your prime? Because you've been in this sport not long at all, but it seems as though you are just getting better and better.
Yes, I believe... You know, right now I'm 26 years old, so, you know, I still have a couple of weakness. So I believe when I get like 28, 29, I will be, you know, that will be the time I will be in my best. So now what I'm doing is, you know, last competition I was over 180 kilograms.
Over 180? And can you still do a flip?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I can still flip anywhere, everywhere.
How about
anytime.
That? I think that is the single most impressive stat on any world's strongest man competitor anywhere. How many other 400-pound men in history can do a flip?
I mean, that kind of weight, that's flipping heavy.
Yeah. Hey, let me... You told me a great story once about who was the only man you had met bigger than you, and you mentioned was it your granddad or your great-granddad?
My great granddad.
Is it your great granddad?
I heard like, I don't know about the size because I didn't see his picture, but I heard he was really powerful.
Yeah. But what was his job? This is the bit I love.
He's king.
He was the king! Sorry, I know you're quite a modest man. You don't like talking about it, but isn't that great? He was the king.
What?
I was just saying you are very modest. I know you don't like talking and boasting and whatnot, but I think that's pretty cool to have in your family. Thank you, Aaron Bibby.
Yes.
We're looking forward to seeing you rule the world as strongman soon. And, of course, the Giants Live Tour, you're all over that. On Channel 5 yes. On the run-up to Christmas. You have a fabulous perfect. Christmas for yourself. Thank you so much for joining us on this.
Thank you so much.
This previous show. And look forward to catching up with you again in 2019.
For sure. It's my pleasure. Thank you all for the support.
Burkina Faso's Iron Bibi.
Yes.
Interesting to hear about his great-grandfather, the King. If he'd inherited the title, of course, he'd be Bibi King.
Was a work of art there, sir.
So, thank you so much.
Anyway, only a week's work.
Back to the World Tour Finals. And, you know, apart from Bibi and all the other big names that are there going at it, you got Tom Stoltman there.
Tom Stoltman,
You got
the Albatross.
Lallis. Which Lallis? It's Vitalis Lallis, isn't it?
Yes.
You've got Bishop as well. Bish and Mish, because Mish is there, Shvilyakovsky, who one of my favourites.
Yeah.
And the great Adam Bishop, who I know you're super touting for
really
the future
am.
Of British strongman.
He's somebody who year on year, move a couple of his injuries to one side, year on year just gets better and better. And you just see him grow stronger and learn more. And he's just so exciting now that perhaps Eddie Hall perhaps has got other focuses. I think Bish will be one of those guys to really take the mantle, Colin.
So when did you sign the management contract with Adam anyway?
15%, Colin, on everything.
Wow.
It's a 360 deal.
I tell you what, yeah, you can suggest that to him now because Adam Bishop joins us on the line. Thank you so much for joining us. You're about to get on a coach with your rugby buddies.
That's it, yeah. We've got a game today. A Friday night game, so it's a bit of a long day because we end up going down nice and early, getting the boys all settled in a hotel, have some food, and then head across and hopefully do a job.
Right. For anyone who doesn't know, can you just explain what you do in your day job?
Yes, my day-to-day job is I'm the head of strength conditioning at Harlequins Rugby Club. So it's like my dream job, really. I get to go to work every day in shorts, deal with rugby players, and basically make sure they're kind of fit and strong, you know. So as a former rugby player myself, it's pretty cool.
Right. It's a similar vibe to yours, Colin, in your day job, no?
I don't even put my shorts on, actually. Whenever you talk to me during the day, I'm just sitting in my office naked.
I mean, Bryce doesn't wear pants most of the time. So he's lucky to put some shorts on at all. So.
Yeah. How do you know that?
Everyone saw it at Giants Live Sweden.
Oh! So they did when Thor lifted me the end. My pants ripped my trousers.
Exactly. We didn't want to see it, but we were forced to witness them.
Right.
Colin almost got sacked.
It's been a big year for so many reasons on the Giants Live Tour. Bish, one of the big stories, and we can't give away the results too much of what goes on, but you've been one of the big stories. I mean, particularly the World Tour Finals, but just all the way through coming back from that torn bicep, it's been another year where you've really stepped up a level or two. What's going on with you? How are you managing to make these improvements?
I honestly think tearing the bicep was probably the best thing that could happen to me in a roundabout way because it gave me a chance to focus on some of my static strength. So I worked a lot on my squat while I was in the sling. And I really kind of try to turn it into a positive because, you know, it's a real common injury in strongman. And the way you deal with injuries, you can either kind of mope about and be feeling sorry for yourself, or you can kind of, like, you know, knuckle up and kind of get on with it. And that's what I decided to do. And it gave me a chance to really focus on my static strength, which has always been a little bit of a weakness for me. I kind of managed to change a couple of things up in my training. And it's worked very well. It's been a good year for me.
Bish, I remember you in Loughborough Uni. I remember when you pulled 300 kilos for your deadlift. You were basically the strongest guy in the gym. So you've gone from a single on 300 now to pulling 420. How has that happened?
But what was his body weight then at 300?
Right, he was much over 95, were you then, mate?
I basically looked like a lollipop, Colin.
My son's got a big head still.
I had the same size head, thanks to the Bishop family jeans. And then I had this little string bean bonnie. I was about 105 kilos when I did my my first 102, I think, when I did my first 300.
Was that when you and Radzi were going for the skeleton Olympic team?
We were.
Me and Radzi were out in Winterberg sliding together.
We were.
Yeah, that was a hell of an experience.
Bish, what was your sled like that day?
Rickety. Yeah.
So I'm there probably 70 kilos wet through. You've then got Bish who can't fit on the sled. And they've given Bish a sled that basically doesn't work. So you know when Bish is going down versus anyone else, because all you hear is crashing into walls.
I was getting some serious oscillations in the corners, that's for sure, yeah.
How did it work out? I didn't know this story at all. So basically, you were both trying out for the bobsleigh team.
Exactly, skeleton bobsleigh.
No. They weren't quite doing the man thing.
Oh, okay.
Someone's been to the Olympics.
No, let's not mention I've been to the Olympics. So there's no need.
some guy pushed the sled in a really neat sport that one time.
Listen, I managed to beat the Jamaicans, yeah. Yeah, and the Mexicans.
Oh, wow.
We were all right.
Myself and Radzi, I ended up going through a program called Pitch the Podium, which was picking up ex-footballers and rugby players and see if we could transfer to Olympic sports. We got the chance to go and join the program down at Bath to do skeleton bobsleigh. And obviously, that's a sport where UK Sport decided they were going to put quite a bit of money in, so they thought we could have a chance to pick up some medals at the Olympics. And it has paid off, obviously. We were down there for a while. We were pushing on this rickety old sled that would just hold together with bungee cords, actually, which you slide down and then it fired you back up the top of the track. And then we got a chance to go and slide out in Winterberg, which is pretty cool, you know. It's a kind of crazy sport, but it's probably the safest out of the three because it's the slowest, I believe.
But James, give you a flavour. So this was around the same time that Lizzie Yarnold took up the sport.
Yeah.
And so she's now...
Program.
Exactly. So she's now time a two times Winter Olympic gold medalist.
Right.
Me and Adam aren't.
No.
Adam went on to great things in his sport.
Yeah.
And I just talk to people on a microphone.
Adam, when did you... So what made you make the move into strongman? And we've also been asking, we've been getting some great responses from people about their earliest memories of World's Strongest Man. When did you first become aware of this extraordinary phenomenon?
Oh, 1998, I think, watching Magnus Samuelsson win his title. That was the first Worlds I ever watched as a kid. It kind of blew my mind, really. I've always liked kind of the absolute of everything. So, you know, the fastest man in the world, the strongest man in the world, etc. So it's always been a big interest of mine. And I kind of watched Samuelsson win his title and I kind of got myself a little bit hooked. So I watched it every single year. Obviously, I grew up watching Pudzianowski dominate the sport at World's Strongest Man. I kind of fell into it, really, when I was up at Loughborough Uni when I was studying. I had a weekend off rugby and a guy from the gym was going down and training in this dusty yard in Leicestershire, just training some events. He said I should go and give it a go, and I did, and I kind of took quite naturally to it, especially at the farmers walks and stuff like that. A guy called Jason Talbot, who used to make all the strongman kit for us, he was kind of my mentor, really. He's an ex under 105 champion, and then I kind of just worked through the weight classes. So I was in the 105 class for a couple of years in 2010 and 2011, and then moved up to the opens. But I mean,
I gave you a call out of the blue.
Cool, yeah.
Would you come to Sweden?
originally, I just finished the end of a kind of a tough season. I'd done quite a lot of comps, and I was a bit knackered. And I kind of was double thinking, and then I had to have a word with myself. I was like, if Brighty calls you up and offers you a chance to go and compete at Giants Live, you don't turn him down.
There's only a handful of people that would actually accept that, actually. But yeah, no, it's. I remember that you were still very light, and you were extraordinary. You came fourth just behind likes of Sean people.
You know what? With this sport, you've got to take your chances. There's a lot of people who kind of bitch and moan online about not getting their chances. But when you get your chance to impress someone and compete, especially on television, then you have to take it. You know, you've got to be kind of ruthless and make sure that you perform when it kind of matters, not just lifting big weights in the gym and expecting to be invited to stuff. So,
Adam, what was it like then, the first world finals that you competed at in Malaysia? Was that kind of a reality check for you to suddenly be there with Z? I mean, you'll have seen him around, but to be there at the Worlds?
Oh, it was absolutely incredible to be around all these guys I've been watching on TV for years. I mean, our flight to Malaysia and seeing the size of Z on the plane was just obscene. I learned so much from that that first year, just kind of watching the guys and how they operated, etc. And, you know, the weights were heavy for me. Of course it was. You know, I think my best deadlift going into that comp was 370 officially, and then I managed to pull three reps on 370 in the on the car deadlift that day at the comp. So it's a huge step, but you don't realise how much different World's Strongest Man is from a normal competition. It was amazing for me, a massive kind of achievement to get to my first Worlds, and kind of a really nice setting, to be fair, to be out in Malaysia and competing with all the giants.
Yeah. Who are an unbelievably nice group of people, at least in front of camera. What are they like off it?
Oh, yeah, hilarious! Yeah, that's the best thing about strongman is no one's trying to stab you in the back or anything like that. Everyone kind of wants each other to succeed or lend each other kit. People will help you, will talk about training, you know, help people warm up, etc. So it's a really nice kind of atmosphere, especially backstage.
Adam, it's been a big year for you with Giants Live. And there are some really amazing performances coming up on Channel 5 in the build-up to Christmas. What's been your favourite memory without revealing any of the results?
Definitely the World Tour Finals for me. That's going to be a good one.
Excellent.
I'm going to enjoy watching that one back. So, yeah, definitely.
No crashes or falling over on that one.
No calamities.
Thing, Bishop.
I mean, in one year, I think I smashed my hand under a shield. I blew my bicep off. So it was nice to go through a full season without, you know, screwing anything up too badly, and definitely not falling over and making a fool out of myself.
Brilliant, Adam. Well, great to talk to you. Best of luck with your match this evening.
Thank you. Thanks so much, guys.
Well, lovely to hear from Bish there. If you'd like to get in touch, by the way, listener, you can find us at theworldstrongestman.com or on our Facebook page, on Twitter, at World Strongest. That's it, at World Strongest. Instagram is The World Strongest Man, Colin. Yeah. Hey, let's have a little plug for the 2019 Giants Live Tour.
Get your tickets.
Where can they get them?
Flog them, Ricey. Please go to, all information's on giants-live.com. Okay. And indeed,
which ones are for sale now?
Well, pretty much not quite Manchester yet, but that shall soon be. But there's basically the big one that's coming up is Britain's Strongest Man Fly DSA Arena. You can get it off the arena site or ours, Ticketmaster, StubHub, and indeed Eventim. And then we go, that's the big Laws versus Terry showdown versus Bish versus everybody. And then we go Europe's Strongest Man, of course, the classic, the biggest and baddest at the First Direct Arena. That's April 6th. And then July 6th. There's a sixth theme there. I don't know why, but they're both Saturdays, probably. And that's at Wembley Arena with the World Deadlift Championships event.
That's going to be huge. All right, well, as we mentioned before, we've actually got two, not just VIP tickets, Rad, but VIP. What'd you get for the extra V? Just out of interest, Connor.
I will tell you. You want to know?
It should actually be W.
You get free drink. And with the legends beforehand.
Oh, do you? You don't just get the meet and greet
with the athletes after the stars.
Right.
But you got, like the last one we had, Eddie, Kaz, Magnus Fair, Jeff Capes, and Radzi hosted it.
I did indeed.
And free booze and a hoodie.
You get the hoodie
Mind
as well.
Over matter.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Kaz.
And he'll be there as well. Anyway, so we have two of these VIP tickets for Giants Live Wembley on July the 6th. Now, we're going to put them to a special competition now. We had so many entries for this. Apologies if you tried and didn't get through. We had more people entering than ever before on this World's Strongest Man podcast in all our long years of doing it. We've whittled it down anyway to two lucky contestants who are going to join us on the line now and scrap for this pair of tickets. We could give them one each, you know, but that wouldn't be as much fun as hearing them battle. So the rules are really simple. We've got 15 questions in total, 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. Whoever answers the most wins. Beware though, because there are two trick questions in there. All right, who is our first contestant? Michael Bryce from Aberdeenshire. Michael?
Hello
there to you. And also there, I hope, is Nicola Hardy. Nicola, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Nottingham.
Nottingham, excellent. Okay, the rules are simple. There are 15 questions. We'll ask you each those 15 questions in turn. You'll each have 60 seconds to answer as many of them correctly as you can. Whoever gets the most correct answers wins. If you're still answering when the 60 seconds are up in classic, Magnus for Magnussen fashion, if you started, you can finish. But beware, there are two trick questions in there. Michael, you're up first. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Correct. That's 1 point for you. Okay, sorry, just kidding. Okay, so here comes. Are you ready with the clock? All right, hang on a sec. We're just lining up the clock. All right, we're just taking Nicola out of the equation. Michael, who holds the most World's Strongest Man titles? Jean-Paul Sigmundsson, Magnus von Magnussen, or Sudrunas Viskas?
That's a tie. They're the same.
Exactly. Who was Europe's strongest man in 2016?
Hafþór Bjørnsen.
No. What year did Big Z first compete at World's Strongest Man?
2004?
No. Speaking of Big Z, how many times has he placed second at World's Strongest Man?
Six.
That is correct. Which country has hosted World's Strongest Man the most times?
America.
That is correct. Who has the biggest shoes, Tom Stoltman or Ian Beebe?
Tom Stoltman.
Correct. Which country has the most World's Strongest Man victories, Poland or Lithuania?
Lithuania.
Wrong. True or false, Jeff Capes won World's Strongest Man in 1983?
True.
Absolutely. Who won World's Strongest Man in 1987?
Magnussen.
That is incorrect. And that's the end of your 60 seconds, Michael. I can reveal that you have scored 6 correct answers. Excellent. Brilliant. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Let's see if it's good enough to win you those 2 VVIP tickets for Giants Live Wembley. Stay on the line as we now put those same questions to Nicola Hardy. Nicola, are you there?
I'm here.
When did you become a strongman fan?
Probably about 10 years ago.
Brilliant. All right. Well, good luck with these, because some of them might date from a little bit before. We're just putting our hourglass back the other way. And your first question is... Who holds the most World's Strongest Man titles? Jean-Paul Sigmundsson, Magnus von Magnussen, or Sudrunas Viskas?
I thought it was Pudzianowski.
No.
Magnussen.
No. Who was Europe's strongest man in 2016?
Lawrence Szalely.
Kind of, yes. What year did Big Z first compete at World's Strongest Man?
2006.
No. Speaking of Big Z, how many times has he placed second at World's Strongest Man?
Eight.
I'm afraid not. Which country has hosted World's Strongest Man the most times?
Oh, America.
That's correct. Who has the biggest shoes, Tom Stoltman or Ian Beebe?
Tom Stoltman.
Correct. Which country has the most World's Strongest Man victories? Is it Poland or Lithuania?
Lithuania?
I'm afraid not. And that is your time up. So after 60 seconds, Nicola, your score is 3.
Oh, God,
which means I'm awfully sorry that you'll have to pay for a ticket to go to see. But it'll be worth it. I've got to tell you, Nicola, it'll be worth it. Michael, yeah. you with 6 correct answers out of 15 are going to, with a friend... or somebody you don't like, it's up to you, to a VVIP experience at Wembley for Giants Live 2019. That's going to be fabulous. I bet you'd be curious to know the answers to some of those questions. Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
All right, then. Most World's Strongest Man titles between those 3. It was a trick question. They've all got 4. Europe's Strongest Man 2016, as you both said, was Lawrence Szalely. Big Z's first year at World's Strongest Man was 1998, 20 years ago. Big Z has placed second 6 times at World's Strongest Man. USA has been the most frequent host of the competition. Tom Stoltman does have the biggest shoes between him and Ian Beebe. Which country has the most World's Strongest Man victories between Poland and Lithuania? The answer was Poland with 5, Lithuania has 4. Jeff Capes did win World's Strongest Man in 83. And the final question we had was who won World's Strongest Man in 1987? Do you want to have a second guess at this?
I didn't get to it.
No. Do you want to have a go at it now?
Was there a World's Strongest Man in 87?
Bingo. There was not a World's Strongest Man in 1987, Nicola.
Redemption.
Excellent. All right. Well, you know, you're both winners in a very real, real sense. But Michael, we'll get your details and send those gold-plated VIP tickets to Wembley.
Especially for a surname like Bryce. My goodness me.
It'd be a family gathering, isn't it?
Yeah. Collision.
Yeah. Have you guys been to a show? You've been to a show before, either of you?
I have, yeah. I've been to Doncaster and Leeds.
Doncaster, the Donny Dome days. Love it. Oh, I hope you can come in January 19th. We have the Sheffield one.
So make sure you come up and say hello to us
Sheffield
there.
Last year, it was brilliant.
Did you like? Oh, you enjoyed it? Great. I thought it was fun, wasn't it? Razzie was there.
I was. It was a lot of fun. I look forward to seeing you again this year.
Excellent. Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you for playing, Nicola. And thank you as well. And congratulations, Michael. And excellent. What a great competition that was. Rads, you know what we're ready for now?
What's that?
The World's Strongest Man finals.
Yes.
Manila.
The
and
thriller.
Various other bits of the Philippines are the setting for this annual coming together of the most powerful men on the planet.
Do you know, every Christmas I look forward to this.
Yes.
It is a special time. We begin to wind down the work.
Yes.
And we focus on the TV.
Yes.
And then we see the strongest men in the world compete to find out who is the strongest.
For them, the work is just beginning. As we say, the 30 strongest men turn up and lift things and pull things. Any rule changes we should know about? There's one in particular, isn't there, Colin?
Yes, going through the qualifiers into the final, or the finals into the grand finals, you have the man in first after five events go straight through. That's as per the previous year. But second versus third, a shootout on the stones.
Right, they don't actually do a shootout with the stones, although that would be hilarious to watch. It's an Atlas Stones liftoff, I like to call it.
Yeah.
So
liftoff.
First place in the group, you're straight through to the grand finals.
Second and third, you scrap the points. It's just a shootout. Boom.
And fourth and fifth also, you know, for the pride of being fourth or indeed fifth. And sixth, well, go home, buddy.
It's see you later time, yeah.
Do you know what? I actually like this change.
Yeah, because it's good.
The previous last man standing, when we saw the colossal efforts of Belshak taking on JF Caromba, already pre-fit. It was.
Listen, man, that could have worked. Let me just tell you how that could have worked.
Go on.
I have to get this off my chest, right? Please leave this in the podcast. If it was second versus third,
yes,
and that was it, place in the final.
But that's what we have this year.
Ah, but we have head-to-head stones. I would like to see third.
Right.
Start with a stone, chuck it to second.
Yes.
That's his disadvantage.
One extra.
Check out the shows. See what you think. Tell me if a slight disadvantage, with not the disadvantage of having to beat fourth and fifth before.
Let it go.
Agreed.
Colin.
It's been a year.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Do you know what? I like this.
And Luke Stoltman was another man who put in a phenomenal effort in that last man standing.
Exactly, and he spoke afterwards about the fact that he can tell his grandchildren about that. And that's what it's all about. For me, again, that's the beauty of strongman. You know, you get a cup of tea, it's Christmas time, you watch it and you see these gargantuan creatures go head-to-head and leave it all out there.
Okay, so that's brilliant, but that's not what we're doing.
It's not. I do apologise. I'm looking back. We need to look forward.
No, but this, I think everybody fell. And we'll see how it goes in the Philippines, but this seems a really good solution. Drama in store as the people who finish second and third go head-to-head for a place in the final. We've also got a new face in the presenting team. It's Michelle Ackley. Sorry, Rad, you thought for a second we were going to invite you.
Should I tell you a secret about Michelle Ackley?
Tell us all the secrets you have about Michelle.
We both applied for Blue Peter back in 2011, and we both didn't get the job.
No way, why?
So we got whittled down from however many to then 10 to then 3, and then no one was chosen.
What?
So Michelle and myself went down to...
How do you mean no one was chosen?
I know they kept the two that they had, and then they just didn't have a third person, and then I got brought on 2 years after that. But that's why I know Michelle is from way back our Blue Peter days.
Damn.
Our
What's
failed.
It like working on Blue Peter?
Do you know what? It is a privilege. And
is
it's a bit like Strongman in that people often ask you about John Valenpete. People always talk about Jeff Capes, Bill Kazmaier, John Paul Sigmund.
Or their Olympic gold medals in
Thank you, that's number six, finally.
Colin, you know.
No, I was just going to say, if you're listening in America, worldwide, Blue Peter is it's very much like World's Strongest Man. It's a show that's been on telly for like time on British British telly. It's even older than WSM.
It's normally a kid show, but beloved of adults. And you've got a special bit of metal that you like to mention. I personally don't drop into conversation the fact that I have a Blue Peter badge.
Yes.
I certainly do.
Really?
I do.
Can I get one, Raz? There's only chance.
No, I had to. You have to earn those puppies.
Your kids could earn them.
I helped set up Iron Bibby to go on and do a world record. Hello. What am I? My dad's got one, actually.
Does he really?
Yeah, he tossed a cable.
Iron Bibby's got a Blue Peter badge.
He does.
Yeah, I know he does, but I like...
Because he broke a world record.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be an Olympian.
Now, anyway, that's Blue Peter. But what about the World's Strongest Man finals in Manila? You're going to see it. I mean, of course you're going to watch it this Christmas on Channel 5. But just to take you through the athletes that we've got. I mean, I'm just looking here. Group 1, for example.
Uh-huh.
Who's in there? Oh, you got the Pie Man.
It's stacked.
Maharipuri. but Pie Man, as we like to call him. Marius Lilas. Vitatis's brother.
Younger brother, yeah.
Lawrence Charley, Rob Kearney, Thor. Bell Shaq, who people keep underestimating because of his friendly face, and he's a bit smaller than some of the other guys. But, wow, I mean, Hapthor, and this is going to be, I think, probably one of the biggest questions of the Philippines. Is this going to be Hapthor's year? Eddie stepped aside. Can Hapthor take that step onto the final podium?
The mighty Thor.
Don't comment on that, Colin. We'll have to wait and see.
No problem.
So much pressure, though. So much pressure, though. More than this much we can comment on. More than anybody else there, will he be feeling the pressure?
Ooh.
Being Icelandic and with his background.
I mean, would he be on the throne? Sort of like Game of Thrones.
Oh, nice, nice.
That's right, James.
What's that? I don't get it.
Will he be king?
All right. He's been looking in incredible shape. And he says he's more driven this year than ever.
What keeps me mostly motivated, you know, is 100% my family, friends that are with me in my journey, that support me and believe in me. It's been a long journey. Each year has been a battle. This year I'm definitely in my best shape ever. I definitely want to win. I come into each year trying to be better, trying to improve myself. And when it's game time, it's no more friendship. It's just business.
Business, Rad.
Absolutely. You want to talk about genetics, you must look on Google and type in Hapthor Bjornsson, father and grandfather, and you'll see a picture of the two of them next to him. His dad is an inch shorter than him. His grandfather is half an inch taller than him.
I was staggered when I discovered who that man was standing next to, Hapthor.
Right.
It's kind of weird because granddads, like my dad, who's now a granddad, he's shrunk a lot. And he was 6 foot, 2.5. Now he's 6 foot. His granddad is still taller than him. He's massive. Can I also add in that he is actually half English.
Okay. Is that
Thor's
right?
Granddad. So in many ways, we could root for him.
So basically, Thor
if
could get
English.
A British passport.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Thor, the favourite, I think it's fair to say, of Group 1. Group 2 is an interesting lineup. You've got Adam Bishop in there. You've got Johan Els, but only just because he almost didn't go. Johan is an incredibly strong but incredibly emotional competitor as well at World's Strongest Man. Very nearly pulled out because of the kind of domestic troubles back in, or the problems that South Africa has been facing. Well, he's in there. Adam Bishop, as I mentioned, and of course Brian Shaw, who looked gutted to finish third last time out in Botswana, but he's made that his focus and the source of his determination.
It means a lot to me. I pour so much of myself into my training and competing. Coming off 2017, there was some good things. There was some things that I messed up, and it's not always going to play out the way that you think it's going to play out. And you have to battle some adversity. You have to overcome different challenges, and that's part of the sport. So when it doesn't work out, when I don't win, you have to take a step back and you have to analyze that performance and say, how can I get better? And then just come back better.
Brian Shaw is such a legendary figure. There I was giving it the big, his motivation. And then Brian comes in talking really, really calmly about, so down to earth. He's such an extraordinary figure. He's so massive and yet so down to earth, Red.
When I first stood next to the guy, my mouth was agape. Huh? A man who's over 200 kilograms. Mm. That, We've got the same number of major organs and bones in our body, but yet he weighs 130 kilograms more than me.
Crikey.
It's just, he is...
Sorry, guys, I didn't hear. That's his given weight by him. We've never got him on a scale. He's the only one who refuses to go on a scale.
Really? Oh, so we can't be too sure.
Too sure? I can tell you this. If he's not over 200, more like 210... In fact, I know he doesn't
really
want to look because he likes to be 205, 200 to 205, and he doesn't want anyone else to see his weight, and it can affect him psychologically how heavy he is, which is why he doesn't like to look.
Oh, right, okay. He's gunning for a fifth title this time around, and he's one of the contenders, definitely. He has to be, he's Brian Shaw.
Of course he is, yeah. I mean, and then, you know, it would be fair to say his five titles would be five of the hardest fought titles. I mean, he's gone within a point of second place, with Zydrunas barking at his heels and Thor, you know, and other greats during that period. I mean, they might be the five hardest fought titles ever, which would give him a really huge argument to be the strongest ever.
Well, so far, only Eddie Hall has been able to push past Z and Brian in their kind of recent era of dominance. But we'll see if that changes this year. Maybe it'll be somebody from Group 3, which indeed includes Z. Robert Oberst, who came onto the scene with such an incredible first year at World's Strongest Man, struggled to live up to that since with the injuries that he's had. But a really tough group for Obi. Iron Beebe's in there, Graham Hicks, who's been doing brilliantly on the Giants Live Tour. Z, as I mentioned, Luke Stoltman as well, who's an absolute oak of a man.
Oh, yes, he is indeed. Mm. He really is an oak of a man. But what's mesmerising is he spends half of his year on an oil rig. The guy can't even train properly. So we're only seeing, I don't know, 60% of what he's capable of. If he were able to focus on training, maybe even for just 6 months, I'd love to see what could happen.
You know, I always thought he was a roughneck, by the way. You know, he was out there freezing cold, all the kit on in the North Sea. Actually, he's a desk stallion, I found out. So, you know, I've lost a little bit of...
A desk stallion?
A desk stallion. I just wanted to point that out. He's like, I don't know, he's in charge of logistics or something.
Really?
He's not freezing his butt off all day long. And he's got plenty of food, right. As much food as he wants, and he's got lots of dumbbells, which is why he looks so
But
muscular.
Dumbbells, though, everyone else is doing specific event training.
Yeah, but I thought he was out in minus 40 degree weather drilling the oil. That's how he sold it to
But
me.
unless he's...
No, I'm joking. It's very impressive. It's very just joking.
Right, you shattered the illusions now. Thanks. Anyway, well, let's talk instead about Obi, who's got that incredible Circus Strongman beard and a very interesting line of talk as he reveals when he spoke to us about his year away from the finals in 2017.
I have been resting and at home. I took about a year off, had the injury. You know, I thought I was done, but I still had the fire. I wasn't done being competitive. You know, I found myself racing old ladies to the line at the grocery store. I had gone to the top so fast, and it was never good enough. And anytime someone complimented me, I would return with, I should have done better. I never could accept any of the good stuff from what I was doing, and I never took care of myself because of that. So I want to enjoy the moment in the moment. And I finally learned how to do that.
He's an amazing figure, Obi. American log lift record holder, which means that the fifth event in this group three is going to be absolutely crucial because who else is in this group? Big Z.
Yes.
He can lift a log.
He's not bad, you know.
Yeah.
He's broken the world record 16 times or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Only man to lift 500 pounds over his head.
And I'm going to say Stoltman. Can he do that?
And Hicksy?
Yeah. Hicks, one of the best in Britain.
Yeah, and log lifting, absolutely. I mean, yeah, him and Beast.
In terms of strength and depth, I don't think I've ever seen a finals so stacked. Mm. There is no easy group.
No. No, there isn't. But I mean,
how do you assign the athletes to the groups, Colin?
It's actually done a committee of us, and we've ranked them. So we rank them as top five. We rank them as sort of 6 to 10, and then we just draw it out of a hat. That's the way it goes.
I see. I'm looking at group four, I mean, which Madman came up with this. You got Jeff Caron, Mark Felix, Radzikowski, Forsmark, and Martin Zlissis.
Yes. That's a bit of a stinker, eh?
Yeah.
That's Well, see, that's where, you know, like in a tournament, the sort of fifth, sixth guy, fourth, you know, that you can't have the first and the fourth, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. The warrior Rongo Keane is in there as well. who I'm excited to see in action from Down Under. But Lissis is one of that kind of trio of incredible young strongmen who came through a couple of years ago with Kiliskowski and Janashia. He's extraordinary. His manner, the way that he plays to the crowds and to the camera, he's fantastic to watch. Could he win? Could he win it this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Lissis will win World's Strongest Man before his career's over. Guaranteed. Okay. Guaranteed. And I think probably Kiliskowski is making more waves currently, of that sort of new wave of guys that age. But actually, I think Lissis in some ways may well have the long-term artillery to make World's Strongest Man.
All right.
And win it.
I'm very grateful to Radzikowski because the first five letters of his surname are R-A-D-Z-I, the same as mine.
Bingo.
Which means on the list of World Strongman competitors, my name gets there.
There you go.
Not much anymore, though. He's not done so well recently, Big Rads.
I'll take it. Just see my name there.
I'm going to make a prediction for World's Strongest Man this year.
Go on.
That Jeff Caron will finish fifth. He's done it for the last 2 years. Let's hear from the Canuck.
A good thing when you compete very often, like me, stress is going down a lot, you know? Each night I sleep like a baby. No stress and just arrive at the event. And when I listen to this whistle, I'm ready and I go 100%. I'm like something like a machine.
Damn, I want to live the JF Caron way.
Can I make a prediction?
Yeah.
You made one earlier about him being fifth.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm actually saying this out loud, but yeah. I think he will become World's Strongest Man.
What?
Yeah, I think because he's a nice guy, you overlook him. But his static strength, his progress, he's Canada's greatest, strongest man ever. He's an absolute beat. Oh, go on, Colin.
Go on. Be boring, Colin. Louis Cyr is actually, but I know he's not in the World's Strongest Man times of now, but he is arguably the strongest man in history from 125 years ago. So that just chucking it in there, just before the pedants, get old pedant.
Fine.
You know what I mean?
If I say greatest, I'm in the same way as Z. I'm talking about number of titles, and he's 8 times Canada's strongest man.
In the last 45 years, where we can really quantify what he's done.
Okay.
But so in terms of our television series for 45 years, yes, in terms of successes, but Hugo Girard was magnificent.
Yes.
But he, actually, funny he said that, poor Hugo suffered from insomnia. He couldn't sleep outside his own bed. So he would be the strongest man in the world.
Did he bring his bed with him?
No.
He should have done,
but he would turn up. And on day one of the heat, he would always win every event. And if it was the same event every group, he would be the best of anyone.
Right.
By the finals, he was like a baby.
That's extraordinary, because normally sleeping is one of the things that strongmen do most easily. You find them like laid out on the floor in the corridor.
Listen to JF. When he said something about sleep well at night or whatever, you know, it's, you know, he's...
Is he Welsh?
Yes. He's from Birmingham.
Anyway, so he's in group 4, Colin. In group 5, who have we got in there? Nick Best is in there. Terry Hollands. Matej Kiliskowski. Konstantin Janashia. What's going on with Konstantin Janashia's shoulders? Just for anyone who's curious, what's going on with his shoulders?
Well, it's actually it's trapezius and then a little bit more. So it's his father has it, his grandfather has it. It's genetic. It's
okay.
It's just bison lumps.
Okay,
I think
all
he's
right.
part bison at one point, but he jokes about it. Like, yeah, I'm not being rude. They're kind of awesome,
but yeah,
really,
absolutely. Mikhail Shivlikov will be there with his jaunty beret and his.
Isn't he great?
He is great. And also, can you pronounce this?
Sure, give me a crack at it. That is Eivar Smaukstelis.
There you go, he'll be there as well. It's the group of death. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think they're all kind of death these days.
All right, but Kiliskowski, who you were saying, is possibly the most up-and-coming of all the young up-and-comers.
I would argue Lissis is what I was arguing, because right. everyone else says Kiliskowski, but because it just has that deadlift problem. That's the one little chink in the armour.
And why does he have that deadlift problem?
Because one of his legs is 1.5 centimetres shorter than the other. How about
Doesn't that mean that the weight has less far to travel?
No, because it leaves your hips a slightly, cork angle, and that then hurts your lower back over time, stress.
Damn.
Okay, here's a question, though, then. How is he so good at pulls? because you take, whether it's a plane or a truck, the first thing you're doing essentially is a deadlift, just lent over.
Yeah.
So how does
and
he ever come
in? Why
does
he go around in circles when he's playing
the plane?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. What is this?
So that, by the way, folks, that was actually James asking a question, seriously.
But yeah, okay. Did you want to answer Radzi's...
Which one are we asking? I've lost focus now.
So, if Kieliszkowski's issue is deadlifting,
yeah,
the very first move you do in a truck pull or a plane pull essentially is a slightly moderated deadlift. But it doesn't seem to affect him on that.
No, I would disagree. Something like a plane... The way Kieliszkowski pulls a plane is about as perfectly efficient as you get. And actually, you are driving upwards in a squat-like position. You're driving up. It's really your quads if you're low enough. And then, of course, you get your hamstrings in, but arms pulling, everything low, body weight. Perfect.
His plane pull in Botswana was one of the stories of the competition.
Outrageous.
Tilly, another man who can pull
on a
vehicle.
Night out.
Yeah. To be fair, any time of day, is Terry Holland. He's looking great in the Giants Live Tour this year and hoping to bounce back in this World's Strongest Man Finals from a few disappointing years.
Both the last 2 years were quite a disappointment. I mean, obviously, coming back from retirement, I knew it was going to be tough. I felt both years in a position where I could have made the final and I didn't quite do enough. This has been part of the thought process. If I'm going to continue to do strongman for a few more years and continue to be competitive, I needed to make some changes. And, you know, it's that age-old saying, if you want a different result, you can't keep doing the same things all the time. So I've tried to make changes in terms of my training and my diet and everything else, and hopefully see an even better Terry Hollands than we've seen before.
Yeah, fingers crossed for Terry. Let's hope we see him in the grand final again. How many has he been to?
Good question. He did nine in a row.
Nine in a row, so
he hasn't done one since, so yeah.
Looking for his 10th grand final. All sorts of delights lined up there.
Yeah, if he doesn't do it, he's going to get more heavy piano music pieces about him. That's brutal, man.
You played it beautifully, though, Colin, I have to say.
Of course, with the no defending champion, history will be made in this year's grand final, and it's going to be interesting to see who it is who's going to be lifting that trophy. Pretty much at the end of our special preview for this year's Giants Live and World's Strongest Man. Let's just get one or two, shall we, Radzi, more memories of tournaments gone by from the fans.
Absolutely. Jared Remmer from Arkansas in the USA says the early 2000s, watching guys like Sven Carlsen, Mark Felix, Samuelson, Big Z and Marius, always watched with my dad.
Right. Jared did, not them. Presumably. Although he doesn't make that clear. Tim Capor from Stoke-on-Trent says, watching Magnus von Magnussen with my dad. Similar issue there, actually. Thinking I want to be a Viking too. Yeah, absolutely, Tim. Martin James Waghorn from the UK. Gary Taylor winning the title, then complaining because he was turned down for Gladiators afterwards. I didn't know that.
He'd have made an awesome Gladiator.
Wouldn't he, though?
Shadow and Gary Taylor.
Many people picking John Paul Sigmundsson as their earliest memory of the competition. I'm not an Eskimo, I am a Viking. Very popular quote from him.
Anthony Brown remembers Hanfred Herbel's biceps in 1994.
I'm not sure that I do. Were they
I don't
big?
Either.
26 inches, yes.
Really?
Yes, massive, massive. There was rumours that they were some part silicon, actually. They were so big.
Really?
But I did see him after he lost loads of weight in Las Vegas, and they were still as big, so probably not silicon at all.
Well, I don't know. Rufus Defibau from Ohio. Probably the 88-89 World's Strongest Man contest, because as far back as I can remember, roughly I was about 3 years old, I recall watching them with Dad. Wow, father's a big part of the World's Strongest Man narrative.
Some great haircuts in that period as
well. I know, yeah.
Mark Andrew says, my first memory was Ted van der Paar pulling a plane and winning 1992's World's Strongest Man.
Yeah, Iceland, man.
Who knows? Who knows what memories will be created with people's dads on Channel 5 this December and into January. December the 12th, it all begins. Colin, you're going to be there and be part of it.
I'll be on the television, yes. Though, actually, it's not filmed live at the time, but we pretend.
Right.
the finals, of course, between there's Giants Live to begin with, and then the finals from the Philippines will be on air on Channel 5 between Christmas and New Year. Rad, I know you're beside yourself with excitement.
I am.
What's the single thing you're most looking forward to seeing?
Can Shaw make it number 5, or can Thor make it his first?
Right. I mean, that's the big thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's indeed.
Can't look past that.
You can't. That's if indeed it is those two. It could be anyone's.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so very true. Right. Excellent.
We've got two 200 kilo men. One, Brian's the shorty. He's only 6'8". And Thor at 6'9". I mean, that's your two favourites. It's quite terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah. It's all kicking off on Channel 5 in the UK on the 12th of December. Do check your local listings if you're somewhere else in the world for when you can catch up on events in the Philippines. And I hope you enjoy it. We are certainly looking forward to it. We're going to have, I'm equally excited to announce, another podcast. As soon as the finals are finished, we're going to drop another one, Rads.
I'll be back.
Did you join us for that?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Colin, we couldn't do it without you.
Thank you.
We'll have a usual Rolodex of illustrious names ringing us up, demanding to voice their opinions in the show as well. So make sure you catch that when we return with another World's Strongest Man podcast in the new year. For now, many, many thanks to Radzi and Colin and everybody we spoke to for this special preview show, and you for listening. Have a great Christmas with World's Strongest Man, and we'll catch you after.
Thank you, James.
Merry Christmas.
This is one of the greatest things I've ever witnessed. Look at these guys and what they're doing.